And we do have some empty seats near the front, so if you're not able to see the picture clearly, I suggest that you move closer to the front and let the families with the toddlers and babies sit near the back. Okay, so this morning I'm going to share a message about the human spirit, soul and body. Many people talk about body, soul and spirit, but that's not what we read in scripture. When we read in scripture, it always comes in this sequence: spirit, soul and body. And I love this scripture which is on the screen from 1 Thessalonians. May your whole spirit, soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit, soul and body. Do you know your own spirit? Do you know your own spirit? Can you recognize your own spirit versus your own soul? Can you separate the flesh from the spirit? When it comes to separating our human spirit from our human soul, I would say I find it quite tricky. I think it's quite tough to do. We get a lot of teaching about the Holy Spirit, but we don't get a lot of teaching about our human spirit. So that's what I want to share this morning. I got encouraged to do this because of the discussions that's been taking place in the home group on a Thursday, because there's been a lot of dialogue following one of the messages that Melvin gave about what happens when a person goes from this life and dies, what happens to each part of us. So let's start with this. Now, we human beings are primarily spirit. The scripture tells us that because of the sequence of the words in scripture, it always mentions spirit first. That shouldn't really surprise us, should it? Because Adam was created in the image of God. And what is God? God is spirit. So we are primarily spirit. But we possess a soul and we live in a body. Our body is our outward organ for connecting with material things, for surviving in this world. Our spirit is our connection with God. Our soul is what makes us a human being and our personality. So these are the three parts. If you look at this scripture here, 1st of all, back to Genesis chapter 1, God created man in his own image. God is made of three parts, so we are made of three parts. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful and will also do that. I think this scripture is so amazing and so encouraging. I want to shout amen. Amen. Why? Because who's going to do this? Who's going to sanctify me? Who's going to sanctify you? Are you going to do this yourself? No. Or if we were to do it ourselves, we're in deep trouble. But it says here, the words is himself with a capital H, to be preserved. He who calls you is faithful. Who will do it? So it's the work of God in us. It is not our own work. And it says here that he will sanctify. Sanctify means to be set apart. Now you can have a dress, but there could be another dress which is set aside for something special. So if you've got a wedding dress, it's set aside to be for a wedding. So sanctify means to be to set apart for a specific purpose. And this is God wants us to be set apart for him. And Paul makes it clear that this sanctification is God's work in us. It's not in our own power. But it's because of his work that we are able to enter into the throne room of God once we are born again. Now, let's start with each of the parts. Let's look at the body first. It says in Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. God put his hand down deep into the innermost parts of the earth, pulled the dirt out, and that's how Adam's body was made. Do you know that the human body is made up of the same elements as the ground is made up of? Surprise, surprise. Scientists are going, wow. Well, you knew this already because you read Genesis, right? You're not just made up of water. You're made up of lots of different elements. I don't need to tell you a lot about your body because your body talks to you every day. When you wake up in the morning, you're hungry. You know, if somebody steps on your toe, you go, ouch. So we know all about our body, and the Bible tells us that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yes. So that's the body. Now, what about our soul? Our soul is our mind, our emotion, our will, our heart, our personality. It's like what we consider the person. That's our soul. The body, you can look in the mirror, you can look down and you can see your body. Your soul, you don't actually see it with your eyes, but it's the person that you know. But we all know from experience, when we know another person, you don't judge the person just by their body, because that's just like their shell. You judge them by their personality, don't you? That's what you want to get to know, the person's personality. And that is what makes up our soul. Then when we come to our spirit, let's look at this scripture here. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, the day that you were born again, you looked yourself in the mirror after you were born again. What did you see?
The same person.
The same person, the same body. So when we are born again, we have the same body. It's like I go to the hairdressers and then when I come out, I look in the mirror, my face is the same. Disappointed. My hair got done, my face is the same. We got born again, we're in the same body. We're in the same body. And what about your soul? You know, the day or two after I'd given my life to Jesus, I got so disappointed because I realized I still had these really selfish thoughts. I thought, this trying to be good is not working for me. I was only 12 years old, but I'd already figured out it's not working. So what is this scripture talking about then? It's talking about our spirit. The minute that we surrender our lives to God, our spirit is made new. We are born again. And our spirit is made perfect. Your spirit, if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, your spirit is perfect. Perfect. It's not like when you're born again, you start off having a baby spirit. No, your spirit is made perfect. It's the work of God. It's by the Holy Spirit. This is why, as a believer, when you come before God, you can come boldly before Him in prayer. You can come in boldness. It's the work of the cross. If you go back to the Genesis chapter 2, we read on after God had made the body, it says, and God breathed his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So we have our spirit from the breath of life from God. Isn't that just so beautiful? All things become new. The word for spirit is like air. God breathed it in. Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us. Our spirit starts to communicate with God. Our spirit is made perfect in one go. We experience things that we never knew before. And sometimes we don't really, the soul is not really understanding it all. Some of our experiences with God are difficult to put words around until later on. The mind is kind of lagging behind. I used to say, if I could unscrew the head and just leave it outside church, you know, my spirit would just get on with things. Because sometimes the mind is a little bit slow. And then we have the famous words from Romans. The Spirit himself, that's Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You see how Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit. He doesn't speak to your body or your soul. He speaks to your spirit. And that's how your spirit communicated through your soul and into your body. It's spirit and then soul and then body. This is really important for us to understand so that we get a better understanding of ourselves and understand how God communicates to us. So our body and our soul is the same when we are born again, but our spirit is made new. That's how I mean that picture is like an upgraded man, just to show the difference, right? The spirit has come alive and it's been made new. When it comes to our soul, it's a process. Because when we read in scripture, Paul says, all the things that I should be doing, I'm not. And, you know, and he's sharing his struggles. And we all like that. We come to the realization, hey, I have to work on this. That's talking about our soul, not our spirit. The spirit man lives in our innermost being, like in our belly area. That's where our spirit dwells, just because this Bible says rivers of living water will flow from your innermost being. Now, we must be born again in order to be complete. Because before we were born again, our spirit was dead. The scripture says our spirit was dead. But when we are born again, we are made whole. We are not only two part, but we are three part. So, at salvation, our spirit is born again. Our souls are being saved. Our souls are saved, but our spirit is born again and made new. Hebrews 10:39, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to be saving of the soul. Believe to the saving of the soul. Our soul has a bodily shape. Your soul has the same shape as your body. So your soul is in between your spirit and your body. How do we know this? Well, when you read in Luke chapter 16, Jesus tells about the rich man who died and went to hell. And then if you remember that story, you know, he's asking for some water. So it's clear from that story, because these were real people that Jesus is describing. It's clear that he was recognizable, and he had a mouth, he had a tongue, he had eyes, etc. So your soul is like your body, but it's in the spiritual realm. It's in another realm. But it has the same shape as your body. And your soul is there to keep the body in subjection to the spirit. So God has designed us with the human spirit to be indwelled by the Holy Spirit and ruled by the Holy Spirit to keep man in constant contact with God. So God communicates through Holy Spirit in us, human spirit, which communicates through our soul and into the body. And of course, we know it was the soul of Jesus that died on the cross that was offered for our sin, according to Isaiah 53. So the soul of Jesus, which was perfect, has paid the price for us. To know your body, you look in the mirror. But how do you actually find out how your soul is doing? So you already know if you're born again, your spirit is perfect. But what about our soul? How do we know how our soul is doing? Well, this scripture here in James tells us that God has given us the Word of God, the Bible, as a spiritual mirror to figure out how our soul is doing. We've got to use our spiritual mirror. The world will say, if it feels good, just do it. That is complete nonsense. That's not the word of God. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Our body we can touch and feel, but our spirit we can't touch and feel. It's not a touch and feel thing. It's like wind. The soul we can feel, but it's impossible to know the state of a soul unless we check ourselves against the Word of God. The Word is our mirror. Now, in the natural mirror, in the morning, we check, when I brush my hair, I look in the mirror and see, you know, is it the way, the best it can be? So I check the mirror, you know, you brush your teeth, you look in the mirror to see, did you get the toothpaste off? And we should do the same with the Word of God. We should have a regular check against the Word of God and use our spiritual mirror to know how we are doing. In James 6, it says, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So it's always the spirit first, then the soul, then the body. The flesh, which is the body and the soul, profits nothing. For the spiritual life is coming through our spirit. Now, a couple of weeks ago when Melvin preached, that triggered lots of questions in one of the home groups. He was quoting from Ecclesiastes 12:7. And this is a verse that is very often read when there's a funeral, you know, when the coffin's put in. It says, then the dust will return to the earth as it was. This is talking about when a person has died, from dust to dust. And it says, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. So our body is made of the same element as the soil, and it just becomes like dust again, like soil again. And then it says, this is for every human being, when their spirit leaves them, that means they're dead. Okay? When the human spirit is gone, we are dead. And then in Matthew 10:28, it's interesting, Jesus says, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him, capital him, so that's God, who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So that tells me the people that end up in hell, they are there with their soul and their body. There's no mention about the spirit. Because the spirit has gone back to God. The spirit was never born again. So they are incomplete. So the people that end up in hell, if we don't have Jesus, because we have rejected his great salvation, then we end up in hell. And then we are incomplete because the spirit is not there. Incomplete. But in heaven, we will be complete. We will have the resurrected, it's a different teaching, but then you'll have the resurrected body. Hey, no longer any aches and pains, people, no more wrinkles. Walking through doors, you don't need to take the train, you can just instantly be there. Yes, yes, yes. The body is on completely different dimensions from the one that we are in just now. Praise God. We are spirit being. We are spirit being. God is so good. Look what he's done for us through Jesus. Jesus was the first, and we will surely also be like him. So God communicates with our spirit. This is how God communicates. John 4:24, God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So God always communicates through our spirit, and then that comes into our soul, and then it comes into our body. Now, when we're first born again, we've been so used to our spirit being dead, and we were just living for whatever the body wanted and our soul desired. The soul and the body were the masters. Yeah? You remember that before you were born again. But when you become born again, something changes. You see? And now your spirit is alive, and your spirit says to you, come on, go to that prayer meeting. And then your body says, I am too tired. I am too tired. And your soul says, oh, I just really want to put my feet up. See, you have this thing going on inside. Because remember, your soul and your body have been used to being the master, but now you're mostly your spirit, and your spirit should be ruling. This is why the scripture says the spirit is willing, the flesh is not. So again, in order for our body and soul to come into submission, we have to work on our soul, and we have to use the mirror that God has given us, which is the Word of God. For the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. Wow. Remember we said in the beginning, it's really tough to know what's your soul and what's your spirit. Here it says, if you use the Word of God, you'll be able to tell, is that the spirit or is that the soul? This is such a sharp sword, and it's got precision. It's able to cut without causing any damage, and it can cut all the way down and separate the soulish and the spirit. That's the Word of God. Hey, that's powerful, isn't it? It doesn't cause any damage. It doesn't damage your soul. It doesn't damage your spirit, but just cuts right down. So now you look at the Bible, you open your pages, and you're looking at what you're seeing. You're seeing your born-again spirit. You're seeing what God has made. You're starting to see, I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. And you're no longer being a person that is just driven by the ups and downs of your emotions. But you're saying, no, I'm building my life on the Word of God, the truth that He says that because of the blood of Jesus, my sins are forgiven. So I am not going to feel down because the electricity just went out. Do you see what I'm saying? So you're becoming a spiritual being, and you're living by the Word of God, which gets grounded into your soul. But that's a process. That's a process. Because Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So who's doing that transformation? The scripture's talking to us and said, be transformed. So we have action for our soul. We need to use the Word of God so we can get the discerning of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Wow. To get right down to the innermost being, to the intent of our heart. Do you ever find yourself, you know, you're talking to somebody and suddenly you say something, and as soon as you've said it, you realize, I shouldn't have said that. That wasn't very kind. There's no point in blaming our environment and saying, you know, they aggravated me, that's why I said this thing. There's no point in doing that. No, we've got to say, okay, that actually came from my heart. Holy Spirit, come and change my heart. Because if those words came out, they came from my heart. Because Jesus said, it's not what you put in your mouth that was come out. Because it comes from our heart. You see, so we use the Word of God, and we constantly ask Holy Spirit to come and to show us what is in our hearts. And change us, because we need it. God's Word works to change us, to get our soul in the right position, so our spirit can be totally free, that we can perform and be the person that God has designed us to be. In 2 Corinthians 10, it talks about the weapons of our warfare. They're not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity. Every thought. Wow. Every thought. We have a lot of thoughts. Millions of them. We bring them into captivity. That's our job. That's our job to do. Our responsibility to renew our mind. Renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Yes, yes. So I'm hoping this helps you. It helped me to understand what my spirit is and my soul is. And to bear that in mind so that you can just understand, you know, we can be in a meeting like this and Holy Spirit is moving and then your flesh just goes, don't forget to get that milk and bread on the way home. And your spirit's like, oh, come on now, come on, worship God, worship God. And it's because our soul is still work in progress. But your spirit is beautiful. Your spirit is perfect. And when God looks at you, he sees your spirit. Your Holy Spirit comes in with our spirit. It's all mingled up. And it's beautiful. So how do we stay strong? Well, you know how to keep your body well. You know, you get media tells us all the time about healthy lifestyles and all of this. But for our spirit and for our soul, you know, we, first of all, we need to be born again. If you're not born again, your spirit is dead. Once you're born again, you are a new creation. And you've got to stay in communication with God. Stay in prayer and communication with God. Because your spirit never sleeps. Do you know that? When I go to sleep, I always say, I tend to say, Father God, I just leave my spirit as my body rests just to be with you. But I don't want my spirit to waste any time just because my body is really exhausted. Don't you know your spirit never gets old? I've told this story before, but let me just share again. When I visited my father, and it was his last week before he passed to glory, and he was in a lot of pain, so he was on a lot of medication. So if he was to communicate with us, he would not really be able to finish a sentence, and then it would just become a lot of nonsense. It didn't make any sense. It was all confusion, like he was talking about, I have to get back to work. But there was he was retired. So we said, Dad, you've retired many years ago, remember? He was confused, okay? Then this woman from the Salvation Army that were friends of my parents walked into the room. And she came in and she said, come on, folks, let's pray. And my brother and I were standing and said, okay, let's pray. Guess what? My dying father lying in the bed, he started praying. And he prayed a perfect prayer. A perfect prayer. There was no confusion. He prayed the way he always did. He was thanking God for the blood of Jesus for saving his soul. He was praying a powerful prayer the way he always prayed. And as soon as he finished praying, back to confusion. That was his spirit praying. It was so powerful. We were like, huh? Because your spirit does not get confused or get deceived. Your spirit is made perfect. And it does not die. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So let's stay connected through Holy Spirit to the Lord so that our soul gets transformed, that we fulfill everything. And as that transformation takes place, it also goes into the body in 3 John 1:2, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. In health is really talking about the body, isn't it? In health, just as your soul prospers. So your spirit is well, then your soul prospers, then you will be in health. It's all connected.
Amen.
It's all connected. And it's all by the grace of God. So let's use the mirror that God has given us. Let's use the Word of God. In this world, you will have tribulation. Jesus did say to us, it's not always going to be easy. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So what is the attack of our enemy? The enemy of our soul. Do you know what he does? You maybe think he's attacking you, but he's actually trying to take away your mirror. He's trying to steal the word of God in your heart, because then you don't know where you're going and what you're doing. How do I know that? Remember the parable of the sower. These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. The enemy tries to steal the word of God out of your heart, because if you've lost your spiritual mirror, you don't know where you're going, and you stop growing. You stop growing. So it's the word of God that gets stolen out of people's hearts. That's why we want to meditate on the word of God in order to stay strong. Remember, when the storm came, there was the wise and the fool. The wise man built his house on what? On the rock, yes. Both the wise man and the fool had a storm. So just because you have storms doesn't mean you're not following the Lord. The Lord said, you will have tribulation. We have storms. But when we are built on the rock, our foundation is there. And we can be of good cheer because of the word of God. And we don't let the enemy steal away our spiritual mirror. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We learn to manage our soul and not be swaying up and down and up and down and be influenced, but be people that are established by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. May God bless you. Amen.